Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 202. In the news this week, not a whole lot going on, so we have a little bit of a shorter episode because I'm going on a little family vacation. So rather than just go dark for the week, I figured we'd put together a little something, and I hope you guys enjoy. So the first thing I have for you, and if I apologize if you guys get these already in your lodge and you've read them, the MSA notes. There was an interesting one, April 2015, called The Heart and Soul of Masonry, and it reads as follows. Bill Norton, a past master of Tompkins Lodge in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, was prompted by a short talk bulletin to write an article or an essay about the heart and soul of our fraternity. Excerpts from his words are reprinted here. Quote, "History is covered with displays of passion, relief, and aid. Even in times of war and times of desperate need, lives have been saved, individuals as well as families, Masonic and non-Masonic, due to the teachings of Freemasonry. Brothers who have been saved by physical and or monetary methods, saved by Masonic brethren, whether they were officers or soldiers of war, simply by displaying or noticing a Masonic emblem, even though the recipient of this grace or charity was a perceived enemy, but still recognized as a brother or brothers, family in need. Famous men abound in historic lore of Freemasonry, from kings, princes, potentates, presidents, and founders of our country, and elected leaders of many paths. Since time immemorial, legends of acts of charity and forgiveness have abounded. The heart and soul of Freemasonry is and always has been within every Mason. It is their passion, their teaching, how they display their belief, learning to adhere to the ceremonies of Freemasonry, and showing their passions of brotherly love for each other and their families, carrying the emotions of life and their love for the craft, as it was when they were first brought to light." All right, pretty cool, quick little article there. Some truly inspirational words. So I hope you guys like that. Next, just on the back of that same paper was a short blurb called John Steinbeck's Masonic Connection. So those of you who remember having Brother Brian Kennard on the program, the episode was 127. We had an amazing conversation with him about this guy named John Steinbeck. Well, who is John Steinbeck? If you don't know, he is a very, very popular author from way back. Tremendous, tremendous author, books like Of Mice and Men, that kind of thing. Anyway, Brother Kennard actually wrote a book called Steinbeck, Citizen Spy, and it's a great book. You should definitely pick it up, but if you wanted to hear that interview with him, it's in episode 127. In any case, what this MSA Notes had to say was the following. The famous author John Ernest Steinbeck Jr. was born in Salinas, California in 1902. Among his greatest books are The Grapes of Wrath, which won a Pulitzer Prize in 1939, Of Mice and Men, and Winter of Our Discontent. He earned the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1962. Steinbeck's father and paternal grandfather were both active Masons. Young Steinbeck was a member of the Order of Demolay and received his degrees in Masonry in 1929 in Salinas Lodge. He reportedly stated that he joined the Masons to please his father, finding the fraternity rather pompous, staid, and conventional, and dismissed it as flumdummery. He withdrew from the lodge in 1933. However, there is good reason to assume that he believed in the principles upon which Freemasonry is built, as his work over a large number of years is suffused with many references to the fraternity. Following his death, some 40 years after he joined Salinas Lodge, a certificate was found preserved in his New York apartment that had been presented to him by the lodge at the time of his raising, not the act of someone for whom Freemasonry was considered irrelevant. That was from the Philatelic Freemason, March-April 2015. That's an excerpt here from Lance Romerdahl's Online, The Old Past Master, quoting the late brother Theron Dunn. Where is Joppa? As Freemasons, we hear of this city as a destination by three villains, but we are never told where Joppa is, only that it is a quote-unquote seaport town, from which context must be relatively near Jerusalem. We read that the gate of Joppa is noted in the Tel El Amarna letters as guarded by the Egyptian officer in the service of the pharaoh Amenhotep IV. Relative to the Temple of Solomon, Jonathus, the chronicler, reports that the cedars of Lebanon were brought in on floats, where they were transported to Jerusalem by the workmen of the king of Tyre. Joppa today, called Jaffa or Jaffa, is a suburb of Tel Aviv, 32.8 miles from Jerusalem. It is written that the pillars of the temple could be seen from Tel Aviv due to the Temple Mount raising the structure above the line of sight of the hills between there and the coast. Modern Jaffa or Yaffa is built on a rocky mound, 116 feet high at the edge of the sea. A reef of rocks runs parallel to the shore, a short distance out, and affords a certain amount of protection from weather and sea. There is a gap in the reef through which the boats pass, though during a storm the passage is dangerous, even today. On one of these rocks, Perseus is said to have rescued the chained Andromeda from the dragon. Jaffa is a prosperous town, profiting much by the annual streams of pilgrims who pass through it on their way to visit the holy places. Trade passes through the port to this day, with ships arriving from Egypt, Syria, and Constantinople. And just to let you guys know, there is an interesting thing here. In previous episode, we've had Worshipful Brother Adam Thayer on from the Grand Lodge of Nebraska's Education Committee, and he comes on the show to do the conspiracy theory. Well, this year, well, I should say every year, the Grand Lodge of Nebraska puts out a recommended reading list with 3 to 5 suggested Masonic books. The 2015 list was distributed in early February, and it was their education breakfast during the Grand Lodge annual communication. This year's recommended books were Making Light, A Handbook for Freemasons by Julian Rees, The Initiatic Experience by Robert Hurd, and Masonry and Its Symbols by H.W. Percival. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Everybody always asks what books to read, and the Grand Lodge of Nebraska has a good reading list, and they do a great job with that, and I thank Worshipful Brother Adam Thayer for his contributions to that education committee. So thank you very much for that, brother. So in the past, I have made a few references to a survey that I did on social media regarding the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite of the United States of America, both in the northern and southern jurisdictions. I did not want to make any real commentary on it other than present the facts. And so I finally released those, and it's actually up on the Midnight Freemasons now. It went up last week. But in case you didn't get a chance to check it out, I'll go ahead and read it to you now. It was called Survey Says, and so it's no secret that Masonry has its secrets. A bad joke. A while back, I became interested in something which I thought was a real problem within Masonry, not the symbolic or Blue Lodge, rather, but within the confines of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. As a district education officer, I take education of the brothers pretty seriously. To be sure, our official duty as education professionals is to see that the Grand Lodge's goals are met, as well as the area deputies or inspectors. But many of us look into all facets and look for patterns of things that worked and things that didn't. Some of us, myself included, are obsessed with data or analytics. About a year ago, I became interested in the differences between the northern and southern jurisdiction in the ancient accepted Scottish Rite, specifically the conveyance of the royal secret to the class of candidates. In the northern Masonic jurisdiction, the 32nd degree is titled Sublime Prince of the Royal Secret, and in the southern jurisdiction, it is titled Master of the Royal Secret. There are actually two different royal secrets, and I was finding that there was much confusion among the brothers as to what their respective jurisdiction's secret was. So I did the only thing I could do. I ran an anonymous survey. Here compiled for your convenience are the results of that survey that I ran just a short while ago. We had over 100 responses to the question, what is the royal secret? Prefaced with the question, what jurisdiction do you belong to? As you can see from the results, the southern jurisdiction did a little better than the northern Masonic jurisdiction, but one thing is for sure, it looks like we have some confusion. Feel free to discuss. My one observation that I will offer up here is that you would be hard-pressed to find a Freemason who doesn't remember the password of the Master Mason degree. And to that end, if the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite was as proficient as a Blue Lodge, these graphs would show the only acceptable number, 100%. I plan on running more short surveys in the future to gain insight into the Great Fraternity, and you can expect more posts like this from me in the future. I hope you find the results as interesting as I do. Now, you heard it right there. What were the results? Well, to the answer to the question, what is the royal secret in the southern jurisdiction? 61% were correct. 39% were incorrect. A pretty interesting fact, especially since the southern jurisdiction does a very proficient job in stating exactly what it is. So we have to ask ourselves, Did they not do that? Was it not meaningful? Why did they not remember it? Now, the second was, what is the secret in the Northern Masonic jurisdiction? Now, with this one, only 29% were correct in the Northern jurisdiction. 71% were incorrect, which tells me that we definitely have an issue with conveying whatever the royal secret is. Where did I get my information? How do I know they're right or wrong? Because I've been through both and I do know them. So it is interesting that we found these, and I would urge you all in your Scottish Rite Valleys to possibly take a survey of your own. Take a survey of your membership and see what you get. I think you'd be surprised. Take your results and do something about it. And in fact, I just wrapped a new survey that I pushed out on Facebook for the benefit of finding out more about our craft, or rather, what the brethren think of the craft. And that question was very simple. It was one question only. That question was, choose the option which best completes the statement. Freemasonry is A, an organization of men of all faiths with no preferred religious background. B, an organization of Christian men who also accept others of varied religious backgrounds. Or C, an organization of deists who accept men of all religious backgrounds. Now, whether or not you agree with how I worded it, go take the survey. Let's see what it says. I've already got some very interesting results. We've had over 300 people take that one, and I think you will all be very surprised at the answers, which I will reveal in a future installment of Survey Says. One thing that we have talked about several times is the use of the square and compasses within the craft. Now, not much wrong with that outside of the fact that some brothers feel that other brothers may be using it inappropriately. That is, perhaps using the lights, as we call them, the square and compasses with or without the letter G or other Masonic symbols in order to sell merchandise. Now, what am I talking about? Well, primarily some issues had been raised originally a few years back with Old Masters Scotch Whiskey, which has the reversed Fellowcraft lights on there. So a little twist on it, which perhaps got them out of some legal trouble, but it got me thinking about it, and it also got one other brother thinking about it, and that brother is Brother Wayne Greenlee, who is our resident Fellowcraft down under in Australia, where the square and compasses are trademarked, and they actually don't allow anybody to use them for anything of the marketing purpose. He has assured me he is actually writing a little bit of a piece about this, so we can look forward to that on the Midnight Freemasons as well. But if you have any thoughts about it, go ahead and drop by the Facebook page and go ahead and put up a post, or better yet, discuss it on the Winding Stairs Freemasonry group, because that already has thousands of members and you'll get some real conversation about it going on there for sure. Or just wait until the article comes out and comment it on there.
They are among us. Blood-drinking, flesh-eating, shape-shifting, extraterrestrial, reptilian humanoids with only one objective in their cold-blooded little heads: to enslave the human race. They are our leaders, our corporate executives, our beloved Oscar-winning actors and Grammy-winning singers, and they're responsible for the Holocaust, the Oklahoma City bombings, and the 9/11 attacks. At least according to former BBC sports reporter David Icke, who became the poster human for the theory in 1998 after publishing his first book, The Biggest Secret, which contained interviews with two Brits who claimed members of the royal family are nothing more than reptiles with crowns. The conspiracy theorist and New Age philosopher, who wore only turquoise for a time and insisted on being called Son of Godhead, says these Anunnaki have controlled humankind since ancient times. They count among their numbers Queen Elizabeth, George W. Bush, Henry Kissinger, Bill and Hillary Clinton, and Bob Hope. Encroaching on other conspiracy theorist territory, Icke even claims that the lizards are behind secret societies like the Freemasons and the Illuminati. Since earning the dubious title of Paranoid of the Decade in the late 1990s, Icke has written several books on the topic, all while operating his own website, of course, complete with merchandise and advertisement.
All right, many thanks to worshipful brother Adam Thayer for his conspiracy theorist segment. Now, I know a bunch of you are probably saying, hey, it's the off week. Where's Brother O? Where's Frater O? Well, like I said, I'm on vacation this week, so we kind of put it together pretty quick, but I think we're going to have him on the week after next, and we'll get back into the swing of things, which brings us into this week's famous Freemason. This week, it's Duncan McRae, born 1905, passed away 1967. He was born in Glasgow, and he was an early member of the Citizens Theatre Company and went on to play parts in many classic Scottish films, such as Whiskey Galore, Tunes of Glory, Greyfriars Bobby, Kidnapped, Geordie, and many more. His repertoire was such that he could play from classics to comedy, both on stage and screen, playing such diverse parts as Para Handy in the first BBC comedy of Para Handy, Master Mariner to Brigadier General Sir Ian Stewart, Bollinger in an episode of The Avengers. Duncan McRae was probably one of Scotland's finest comedy actors. He was a member of Lodge Maryhill number 510 in Glasgow. That's it for this week. I skipped over how to support the show this week because we didn't really have a lot of time, but if you would like to support the show, please visit www.wcypodcast.com. Go to the limited edition store, pick up a pin, or click any number of the links on the support the show page. Really appreciate anything you can do. And again, thank you so very much. That wraps it up. So find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Whence Came You, find us at the Google Plus page at wcypodcast@gmail.com. You can also email me there or at admin@wcypodcast.com. I always look forward to reading and corresponding with brothers. A word to the wise, I do get inundated. I do have a 40-hour week, so if you write me, please don't get frustrated if I don't get back to you right away. It could take a month sometimes before I get to your email, but I do respond personally to all of them, and I try to respond meaningfully, that is, point by point. So please have patience. I won't forget about you. If it's been a while and I haven't got to you, I do apologize. Like I said, I am a very busy gentleman, just like all of you are. I do have a family and a job as well to tend to. So please go ahead, shoot me emails and all you like, and I would love to converse. If you'd like quick responses to things, you know, we can definitely converse on Facebook. It's probably the quickest. In any case, I thank you so much for listening to our 202nd episode. I do apologize for the episode length. I'm imagining this is probably going to be around the 20-minute mark, just long enough for your commute. So I hope we had a coffee together, maybe. And don't let the 20-cent Starbucks hike spoil your coffee too much. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.